أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد verse number 7 from Surah Inshiqaq أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. Then as for him who is given his record in his right hand, he shall soon receive an easy reckoning, and he will return to his folks joyfully. But as for him who is given his record from behind his back, he will pray for annihilation and will enter the blaze. If you remember, we said that this book, whatever it is given to us after we have the meeting with God. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه. You are toiling towards your Lord, you human being, and you will meet him, and then if you are given your book in your right hand, you will have an easy reckoning. Just before we come to the concept of book, a couple of more things about this meeting with God. There are a couple of other verses which discusses about the quality of this meeting, how this meeting takes place. In one verse we have وَأُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّىٰ. They will be exposed to your Lord in a line. Saf could be a queue, could be a line. Usually in the Quran it is used as a line, وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفَّىٰ, when it talks about angels lining up for glorification of the Lord, it talks about lines of angels. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا in Surah Fajr, your Lord will come on that day, and angels will come in lines and lines, one after another. So human beings are going to be exposed to the Lord in a line. This is one fact that we have in the Quran. The other thing is that لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come to us individually, single-handed. No one is with you now. It's only me and you. That meeting which takes place is only God and us. No one else is there. So if we put these two verses together, or these two facts together, one is that we line up for meeting the Lord. And the other one is we meet the Lord individually, each of us. This would be something the most private experience of every human being. It's just like birth and death. These are the two most private experiences that human beings have in this world. And this meeting is the same thing. It's very private. It's only between us and God. We can somehow understand, it's just an understanding, that when we say you line up, it means that it happens all at once. It's just like all human beings, all creation stands in one line and suddenly bumps against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak. That Allah suddenly appears to meet everyone. And everyone at the same time, at the same moment, will have this meeting with God, because that's a line which comes to encounter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the sort of quick and momentary type of incident which happened. In one moment everyone meets the Lord, as if all are standing in one line waiting for something to come over them. Now, in Surah Fajr, we have this verse, which I have mentioned a couple of times, have perplexed many exegetes, and we have two extreme type of explanation about this, and that is كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّا دَكَّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. When the earth is pounded and has changed shape, and your Lord will come, and angels come in lines after lines after lines. Now, usually the exegetes say that this means the command of Allah will come, the reward or punishment of Allah will come. As when, wherever in the Quran we have Allah coming, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ, do they expect but God coming to them in clouds? That means clouds of punishment, of course. When in these verses God comes to them, it means that the punishment of God comes to them. What Allah promises them, what Allah threatens them with, comes to them. This is the meaning of coming, Allah coming to them. However, in this verse is very different, because now we have passed all the stages. We have passed through stages in which Allah has already come to us in terms of His command, what He has threatened, and all these things. Now it is He Himself who comes. And that is when everyone stands in one line and suddenly Allah manifests Himself the way is never experienced by any human being. And that is, of course, the meeting that we discussed about previously. And however, when this one line of creation is standing in one line, so to speak, this of course should be metaphorical. We shouldn't think that everyone round the earth would stand in one line. When we talk about Saffan, in one line means that everyone would meet at the same time the same thing, and that is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is private. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَى. Now every single human being has his own unique experience in this meeting. No two people, as they are not similar with each other in this world, or their actions are similar, no two people would have the same experience of meeting with the Lord. And this is what Allah says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَى. It's not only me and you. The way I created you in the first place, كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. It was only me and you when I created you in the womb. It was only me and you. There was no one else there. No one could help, no one could see, no one could do anything. It was only me and you. Now it's only me and you. It's you have returned now to where you belong. And this is, of course, where we are attached, where we are clung to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have come back now to Him. And of course, there are many, many depths of reflection that we can reflect upon about this encounter with the Lord, about us returning to Him and residing where, of course, He is. He calls it Indana, beside me, with me. That is where we are going to stand and stay. And of course, then when that happens, when that encounter, the private experience happens of God for every human being, as I said, for mu'min and kafir or whatever, those who believe, those who do not believe, then of course there is something else. Now you can fully understand why you were created for. You can fully understand what was the meaning of all those things which you have passed through up till now in this world, in Barzakh, in the hereafter, on those stages. Now you can fully realize and understand why all this happened. Before this, we could not fully understand. And this is what Allah explains in many, many different verses in the Quran, that ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. I will inform you what you have done. Now this يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا, informing us what we have done, it doesn't mean that He has just put them in writing and He tells us these are the things that you have done. you had forgotten it, what we had remembered, this is you, this is what you have done. No. It explains to us what was the meaning of whatever we did up to that moment. And that is when we realize that this is our book now. This is the book which is going to be given to us. That book is not just a record of what we have done up to that moment in this world, or what we will go through in the next world. It is the fulfillment of our actions, which is given back to us. Fulfillment of our personality. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this book, which is, as I said, the fulfillment of whatever we have done up that to that moment, which appears, which takes the form which is suitable for that stage of our life, and that's when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that stage, that book has been with us all the time, but it couldn't have been shown to us in full until we come to that moment where the capacity of every human being reaches a point where that meeting is made possible. Now, about that book, we have a couple of verses which explain for us to some extent. As I said, these are very, very difficult concepts. The language is highly metaphorical language. However, metaphor doesn't mean that there is no reality behind it. It doesn't mean that it's just some sort of puzzle or anything like that. It is a reality which could not be put into any other concept but these metaphorical concepts, which we can understand. Otherwise, how could we understand things which belong, concepts which we have not experienced yet, things which does not belong to our experience, to our human understanding and knowledge. So it's put in this form so that very, very easily, and it's amazing, this is one of the aspects of miraculous nature of the Quran, the most difficult concepts are put in the most simple way so that everyone can very easily get an idea. Yes, this is what will happen. I go to the next world, Allah will give me my book of actions. That's very good. I mean, this understanding is very good. This is something which moves us, if we believe in it, moves us to do good things so that our record is clear, is clean. However, when we reflect on these, we should understand that this is highly metaphorical language. It's not just like what we understand in this world from the concept of book or encounter or meeting or something like that. Now, in Surah Isra, we have a verse talking about human luck or misfortune. Fortune or misfortune. Now, as you know, Quran does not believe, or in our tradition, in fortune or misfortune. There is no such a thing. There is no luck or bad luck or good luck. There is no such a thing. It's all what you do. This is your luck, fortune, or this is your bad luck, misfortune. There is nothing else. So, the word which is used for our actions, for what we do, is good luck or bad luck. Good omen we have to take, or bad omen we have to take from whatever we have done. It means, for example, usually in old days, I think still many people have these type of attitudes as well. That, for example, if a bird flies from your right hand side, you say, well, I take this as a good omen, so I proceed, or I think that God likes me, or I think this is a good time to do something. Or then they went into astronomical type of measurements and such things. Now, the same word of fortune and misfortune, ta'ir, is used in the Quran saying that your ta'ir depends on whatever you do. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ. The verse is trying to somehow move away any concept of good luck or bad luck, any concept of accident in human personality, human life, human achievements. Of course, there are things which are destined by God, like, for example, being born in a rich family or a poor family, we take these as good luck or bad luck. But there is no good luck or bad luck here, because Allah doesn't really take these things into consideration when it comes to real life, when we are going to meet Him. The real good luck or bad luck is what we achieve with our own free will. Now, it says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ. You talk about ta'ir, you talk about fortune and misfortune. Yes, we have attached your ta'ir, your fortune, to your neck. Right from the beginning of your life, it is attached to your neck. That means it's not going to be separated from you. However, you do not see this. You cannot see whether you are a prosperous man, a prosperous woman, or otherwise. Yes, those very close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they look in some faces, they can tell that yes, this is someone who is going to prosper. This is someone who is not going to prosper. Like what Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, that I swear by God, I can now tell you your places in hell and in paradise. Why? Because, not because of course hell and paradise is there now or he can see, but because he looks and see what is our personality. Some people have this ability, if that hadith is correct. Some people have that ability to see through human personality. Now, this is because that book is always with us. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلَّزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ. However, this book is closed. You cannot see it. It's zipped, so to speak. You cannot open it. It is not possible to open it at all, because this is something which is still in process of germination, in process of creation. Even when you die, you cannot open this book. This book cannot be opened. Of course, it would have some implications for you in this life, when you die, when you go to different stages, but it cannot be opened, it cannot be unzipped until you meet the Lord. When you meet the Lord, that means you have come to your full development, and then the book is opened. And then this is what Allah says, I will inform you what you have been doing all through. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا. Now, this ta'ir, this fortune or misfortune, on the day of judgment, it will be opened for them like a book. يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. So, before يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and of course, what is the stage of يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ? Here it explains to us, after you meet the Lord, not before you meet the Lord. After you meet the Lord, this book would be opened. كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. Now, here it says, after the book is opened, after it's unzipped, then you can, of course, Allah always knows it, or even when it's not open, Allah knows what's inside it. However, you don't know it. It will become open. It means that the action, for example, here you had done something wrong. Well, we know, for example, if you wrong someone, if you slap someone without any reason, it should have some consequences. This is human innate understanding, because our nature, our creation is based on an understanding of justice. We don't know why. I mean, this is something, every human being talks about justice, but we don't know why all of us like justice. Why justice is good? Because this is innate in our nature. Allah has made it part of our fitrah, that we, all of us, whether we believe in God, we do not believe in God, whatever, whether we are a criminal or we are a policeman, all of us know justice is good. Even if they take you to, if you are a criminal, they take you to court or they take you to prison, if they treat you unjustly, you object. You say, well, this is not my just treatment. I have to receive justice. I have to receive suitable punishment for what I have done. Well, why do we say these things? Because Allah has made this part of our nature, justice. And when we come to that point, where the book is opened. Then all those innate things will come up and would show itself. Now, the book, I don't know why did I go to the issue of justice and what dragged me to go to that issue. We're talking about this idea of the book being opened, the possibility of it being opened only on that day. Now, when the book is opened, when that thing happens, then Allah tells us there is a hisab. Yeah, that was the concept of hisab. There is a hisab coming. All of us know that hisab is something good. However, that full hisab or counting or putting people, taking people to justice is not possible before the opening of that book. Not fully, certainly. Of course, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Allah is very quick in reckoning. He is quick. He doesn't wait for things. But things should wait to come to their fulfillment before that hisab could be done. Now, the verse says that when the book is opened, Allah tells us, اقرأ كتابك. This is your book. This is what you have done. You didn't know what was the meaning of slapping a person. Of course, you went through different stages, but you didn't know what's the meaning of it. What's the meaning of that injustice? You didn't know it. Now you look, what does it mean? When you have come to me, when you have come to this stage, now look, what does it mean? What you have done? And that is when Allah tells us, I don't need to take you into account. You are sufficient for yourself. You read, and you tell me what to do. اقرأ كتابك. This is your book. You read it. That means before that stage we were unaware of really what we were doing. In reality what we were doing. We just knew something very, very superficial about it. We slapped someone wrongly. Astaghfirullah. Oh God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done it. However, that has consequences. Those consequences now have come up. Because, as I said, Allah acts very systematically. And whatever evil is there is punished or is driven away. Whatever good is there will be promoted. Now, your book is given to you. اقرأ كتابك. This is your book. Read it. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You are sufficient today. You are your own judge. You tell me what to do. And therefore, we come to a very, very difficult concept again. Who's the judge on the day of judgment? Is it Allah? Or is it ourselves? Or is it the whole creation? Apparently, everything is the judge, the witness. And even the accused or the criminals themselves are judges for themselves and witnesses for themselves as well. So there is no question of anyone feeling any injustice done. That means those who go to hell, they never ever think that they shouldn't have been there. They have judged themselves. Of course, Allah is the supreme judge. Now, when we say you are your own judge, it doesn't mean Allah is not a judge. This judgment is given to you, is delegated to you by Him, but He is the supreme judge, of course. He is the one who rules. And sometimes you might judge against yourself, but Allah forgives you. That the supreme judge might say, okay, you have done all these things, but I use my own authority and I relieve you of all these consequences. It is possible. However, the difficult thing is that it's not Allah who judges in the first place. That would have been very easy. Because Allah is Karim. It's us who will be the judge in the first place. And then Allah would pass the judgment. You have heard the story of this Arabi who came to the Prophet, peace be on him, and said, Ya Rasulullah, man yuhasib al-nas yawm al-qiyamah, who will judge the people on the day of judgment? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Najawtu wa rabbil Ka'bah, now I am safe. by the Lord of Kaaba, I'm safe. And Rasulullah said, why you say this? He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kareem. He is kareem. He is the nice judge. If he is the judge, he is a nice judge. Now, the difficulty is that before he passes his judgment, we will pass our own judgment as well, according to that verse. اقرأ كتابك كفى نفسك اليوم عليك حساب. You judge first, then I will pass my judgment. And that judgment, of course, depends on how evil we are. Now, we will be harsh to ourselves on that day because we see the evil in our book. As we have been harsh to others in this world, in judgment, of course, we will be harsh to ourselves in that world in judgment as well. However, Allah says, if you are overall good, then I will pass a very easy judgment. The accounting would be very easy for you. You would not realize, or you would not see many of those evil things. The consequences of them you would not see, because I have now passed my judgment that you should be relieved of all those consequences. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. The one who is given his book to his right hand, who will be having a very, very easy judgment. Now, what's the meaning of giving the book in the right hand? It's not a book, as we know. It's not a book written on paper given to our hands. It's metaphorical. Therefore, giving the book from the right hand and from the left hand, or from behind our back. Now, this is from behind your back. It's very, very interesting when we reflect on it. A very beautiful metaphor is used here when he says, those whose book are given from behind their back. It's a very beautiful metaphor. However, before we come to this concept of books given from different directions, coming, so to speak, from given the book to a right hand or to a left hand means the book is coming to you from different directions. It comes from different directions, either from the right or from the left. Now, again, right and left here, we should take it metaphorically, as we see in the verses of the Quran. In many places, it is used metaphorically. However, again, about this book, we saw in Surah Isra that the term used for the book was Ta'ir. Ta'ir, fortune or most misfortune. Now, let's look at a verse in Surah A'raf about how people conceptually see things in this world and how God looks at them from above. It's about the story of Musa and Pharaoh and his people. And of course, whenever a prophet goes to a city, that is a general rule. Whenever Allah wants to change the situation of a people who have been wrongdoers, and He wants to bring them back to righteousness, the whole community, would go through a turmoil. They have to give some sacrifice, so to speak, so that they change from evil to good. And that we see in every society. Allah says, every prophet we sent, أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهُ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ. The prophet, as soon as the prophet went to a community, with him went misfortunes, poverty, problems, torture, and all these things. So that the society could come to their mind, could listen, the sort of ignorance and negligence of comforts. Usually comfort gives us negligence and ignorance. It should be taken away first so that people could listen to a new message. It's always the case. I mean, we have to go through trouble so that we rethink, so that we listen. Now you have economic crisis, people are rethinking about the capitalism, for example. Before that, you could not think about anything. Every time you want to rethink something fresh, you have to have some turmoil. Now Allah says, whenever we send the prophet, أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهُ بِالْبَعْسَاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ. There was this turmoil. Now, in Surah Yasin, we have the same story. When the prophets went to Antioch, or whatever city it was, قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم. Since you have come to our city, all doors of misfortune, calamities, hardship has opened to us. So it is because of you that this has happened. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم فإن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم. Either you stop this because our gods now are angry because of what you are saying, you are condemning them, you talk about one God, our gods are wrathful, either you stop or we kill you. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ أَوْ لَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Now what did they say? قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ أَإِنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ. All these hardships are because of you, not because of us. We have come to change things, but the turmoil is because you are so difficult in acceptance that these difficulties come. It comes to wash evil away from you. Now, about the story of Musa alayhi salam, when, of course, difficult, stage by stage, the hardship was upgraded, uplifted for people of Egypt, so that they listened to Musa. فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةِ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ. Whenever a good thing came to them, for example, the hardship was taken away, they said, this is because of us, now the gods are pleased with us, now we have done something good. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ. And when the hardship inflicted them, they took the bad omen to be because of, they took a bad omen of Musa and his followers. They said, it's because of you. Now, the Quran says, أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This tire, this fortune is misfortune, is with God. It comes because as a consequence. Now, therefore, in this world, whatever we do, it has its consequences. And the fortune and misfortune of it comes from Allah only, because He is the supreme judge. He is both the judge and the police in this world, isn't it? I usually say to anyone who complains about things going wrong in this world, I say, why are you worried? The judge is God, the police is God, both of them. And He is running it, not us. And therefore, anything goes wrong, the consequences are there. The judge is there, the police is there. He is actually looking after his creation very well. However, of course, before a criminal is taken to a court and put to prison, he would do some crime, some mischief. That's natural. Now, this Ta'ir, this fortune and misfortune, shows itself as the title of that book. This is a fortunate person. This is a misfortunate person. And fortune and misfortune is because of what we have done. If fortune is written as a title of your book, then things would be completely different from if the title of your book is misfortunate. This is a misfortunate person. And as I said, fortune and misfortune are the sum of our actions, combination of what we have done. Sometimes we have different traditions talking about different things. For example, Anwanu Sahifat al-Mu'min, as we have in some traditions, Hubbu Ali ibn Abi Talib. The title of book of some mu'minun are that he loved Ali, for example. That is one of the most spectacular, so to speak, acts. It is an act that a person could have achieved in this world. So it goes on top. And then it comes gradually, but the first of all, this was a muwahhid. That's truly not by name. Of course, Allah doesn't call us by name on that day. You were such and such, for example, Shia or Sunni or Muslim or no, names are not important. It's what we have done and what we have achieved which make that book, not what we claim to be. That's very, very important. Claim is not important there. Even when we claim on that day, no, wallahi rabbina ma kunna mushrikeen. We were not mushrikeen. Well, they said your book shows it. Don't talk idle. Why do you say that we were ma kunna mushrikeen? Or when we say, no, by God, we loved Ali, for example, or we loved the Prophet. Come on, shut up. Your book is talking. You don't need to talk. اليوم نحتم على أفواههم. Today we seal their mouths. وتكلمنا أيديهم وأرجلهم. Your every bit of existence now talk. Your hands, your feet, whatever is, you start talking. You don't need to talk. You don't need to say anything. The more you say, the worse. You see, when you go to court, your lawyer says, "Don't speak at all," because then you might spoil your situation, aggravate your situation. And there, when we go, remember, do not speak, because speaking is not good. It's yawma fayahlifuna lahu kama yahlifuna lakum. The day mushrikun come and swear by God that no, we didn't do this. They swear by God, and they aggravate what their situation more and more when they speak. So it depends what is the title of that book. Well, you now take it metaphorically, certainly. What is the title of that book? And depending on the title, it comes from different directions. And there we have three concepts here, coming from right hand, coming from left hand, and coming from behind. And what would these metaphors mean, inshallah, we leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We'll start question and answers now. If there are any questions from the ladies' side.
Don't ask questions because that might aggravate your situation.
Thank you, Sheikh. Now you said there will be, on the day of judgment, we will be the first one to judge our own actions, and then Allah will pass His judgment. Let's say, for argument's sake, that okay, we accept whatever harm we did, or and then we leave it to Allah, because if you were to judge ourselves, we'll probably have a worse.
All of us will go to hell. Yes. If that so, is the judgment.
Probably the best way is to sort of leave it to Allah. You judge us.
Well, you have no other choice. Your book is given to you. And you, naturally, this is the nature of human being. You always pass judgments. Now in this world, we have to pass judgments on ourselves, not on others, but we usually do opposite. We pass judgments on others, but not on ourselves. There, we are only our own, we are on our own with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot pass judgment on anyone else. It's us and Him. So we pass the judgment as soon as He gives us our record, our file, then of course we pass our own judgment. Yeah. You cannot leave it to Him unless He Himself issues His verdict.
Any questions on the lady's side?
Sheikh, as you were talking, the concept that I was visualizing for trillions of people being judged in line at the same time, given their book, and them going through it themselves, I started thinking of, you know, when you sit on this theater and wear 3D glasses, but Allah doesn't need to give you 3D glasses, He'll just create that audiovisual presentation for you individually, for everything that you did, and with the technological knowledge that we have today, we know it is possible. Every consequence of my life, so 1959, Sunday, this time, you did this, look at the consequence, this is what happened, blah, 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 all audiovisual, all happening simultaneously, for everyone. I can visualize that. 50 years ago, was my great-grandfather, or my grandfather, bless him, if he heard that lecture from you today that you presented, would he have been able to visualize it? So my question really is that 50 years from today, when my grandchildren are listening to this lecture, their concept would be totally different. They would, I feel, be advantaged really, because technology would have moved so much more. And yes, interpreting the Quran would be even more easier, I guess. Is Allah unjust? Is Allah unjust in the sense that the people who have been behind had difficulty interpreting, as people nearer to the Akhirah or the Day of Judgment would be able to do so?
Well, you talk about people who lived before the revelation of the Quran. I mean, is Allah unjust to them? Because now we have this book, then we can interpret it in the way that we understand, but before the book was revealed, people didn't have it. Now, there is always an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage is, yes, people can understand better, can interpret better, can visualize better. The disadvantage is if they reject, what happens to them? I mean, it's always the case that when you have a favor, that favor can work for you or against you. And therefore, we cannot say whether we are at an advantage or disadvantage, because Allah puts us to question according to our capacity and ability to understand, and puts them in question according to their capacity and ability. However, then, what effect would it have on the degrees that we attain in paradise is very difficult to realize, really. Maybe many of our shortcomings in understanding, like, for example, our forefathers, many, many thousand years ago, they didn't have these abilities of understanding that we have today. And therefore, how are they going to be placed in paradise, for example, as against us who have a better position here? And that gives more strength to the idea that human beings in its totality is wanting. That ma khalqukum wala ba'thukum illa kanafsin wahida. You are just like one soul. And this one soul, you create different cells of this one being, one existence, in its places. So every one of us who is born in a particular moment in time, a particular age, we fill a gap in that one whole existence which is going to live forever. And therefore, we will prosper according to our position and according to where we are.
Any questions on the lady's side?
If I have understood you correctly, you were saying something about fortune and misfortune, luck and bad luck, good luck and bad luck, is all to do with what we have done. Our deeds have decided that. But many a times you find examples where people haven't done anything to attract or to draw such misfortune. And I can give you one or two examples very quickly. You may have seen photographs in newspapers of girls in Vietnam losing their skin because napalm was bombed on them by America. Now, how do you reconcile that kind of a situation with your interpretation?
Well, it depends whether we regard that as a misfortune personally. I mean, on a personal level, do we regard it as a misfortune for that girl? Or maybe that is going to somehow work to her benefit if we put it in a broader picture, that she is going to get compensation for it from God, certainly. And this is the case. Whatever inflicts you unjustly in this world, you are going to get compensation for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this we cannot call a real misfortune when that book is opened. When that book is opened, the misfortune is the wrongdoing that you have done. And the fortune is the good thing that you have done. However, when we come to community level, yes, that's a misfortune. That's an infliction. And then this is the infliction and misfortune which the human being in totality has brought upon itself. That girl losing her skin in Vietnam is not going to bear the consequences of others' actions individually. Every single human being is going to bear the consequences. We do not realize it. Difficulties, problems which come to human society, we do not realize where it comes from. It comes from such injustices. And therefore, at a community level, at a human level, yes, these would bring real hardships and misfortune in terms of our human life. Many, وَلَوْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. Well, if we want to take you into account for your wrongdoings, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ذَهْرَهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. No one would have lived on this earth. However, he brings the consequences to a limit that we can continue living. مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever infliction inflicts you, it's because of what you have done. And of course, God forgives, covers for many other things. So I think, in general, whatever hardship human race in totality is suffering from is because of these injustices we see around the world. However, individually, I don't think we can call this a misfortune for that girl, because she is going to be compensated as the system of justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in work.
Any questions on the lady's side?
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, can you remind us of some of the more practical steps we can do to ward off these misfortunes, as we have no way of avoiding them where we live?
We have an example in Surah A'raf about those Jews who were fishing on Sabbath. Of course, they were not fishing on Sabbath because it was illegal for them. What they did, the fish did not come on any day other than Sabbath. So what they did, they made small pools behind the small ponds behind the river, and then on Sabbath they led these fishes into those ponds, and on Sunday and other days they fished them. Now, Allah says there were a group of people who were all the time advising them, reproaching them, do not do this, this is wrong. And there were others who were saying, well, leave them, they are not going to listen to you, there's nothing you can do, just leave them to themselves, these are wrongdoers, these are sinners, we do not want to talk to them. Now Allah says when the infliction came, when the consequences came because of what they did, those who were all the time reproaching and preaching them, we saved them. So they were saved from the consequences and inflictions. Those who were doing it received a very, very humiliating punishment. Those who did nothing, they received a bad infliction, a bad consequence, which was just, we killed them, we destroyed them when that calamity came. So one of the main things, and that is why human society is continuing to exist, which is important, is always rejoining good and preventing people from doing evil. That's al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar. And we have in many, many traditions. If this is... Now, this amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar is not something which is restricted to Muslims. For example, you have these human rights watchers. This is amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar, isn't it? On a human scale, when you look at it, we have somehow to go beyond theology and jurisprudence when we talk with these concepts. In the broader scope of things, yes, there are always some human beings who are advising, who are prohibiting, preventing people, others from doing evil. And if this is not in human society, if this does not exist in human society, all of us would perish. It's always because some people always advise others to do good, that human. And this is at human level. When we come to Muslim society, yes, Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is something which somehow safeguards the existence, the continuation of this community. And if we leave it, as we have in many traditions, if you leave this, this is something that nowadays the Western culture tries to somehow teaches us that, well, you shouldn't have anything to do with what others do. You have to leave them. Well, this is not something that even free, open-minded human being would do. They always want to watch over others. They now, of course, we have this human rights, which is the most ma'ruf in our time. Everyone thinks human rights is the sublime ma'ruf in our time, so we have watches for it. And, well, what if in a community people see obedience of God to be the sublime ma'ruf, for example? So we should have watches for that as well, that people advise each other that you have to obey your God, you have to pray, you have to do these things. So this is what, to some extent, safeguards us from being inflicted with those misfortunes.
Any questions on the lady's side? Mom and uncle?
Sheikh, going back to the ayah you mentioned, لَكَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ. The second part you said, كَمَا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ, you said it meant the time when we were born. Did we somehow have this special communication with Allah at that time? How do you mean it?
No, that was just the inception of this, that's just beginning of this journey. But we were alone. There was no one to help us. There was no one to look into our efforts. It was only him and us. But us, not in the sense that we realized, us in the sense that we had no one to look after us. For example, oh God, please, if you do not put eyes for me, I'm going to seek help from someone else. It's only him who does this when we are in the process of creation. So when we go to him on that day, we see our desperateness. It's only we and him. There's no one else. It's only us and him. Yeah.
Yes.
Sheikh, you mentioned that when we receive our books, we judge ourselves, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can overrule that judgment in His mercy. And I think that we have two levels. At one level, we accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the supreme authority and has power over everything and can judge as He wishes, and we're all comfortable with that. But within another way of thinking, we believe that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is systematic and is justified in every sense. So how does the arbitrary nature of this overruling what we've decided actually then fit in to the judgment? And on the other hand, if we now have this expanded understanding and knowledge, when we do our judgment and we believe that Allah is just and we understand the process by which we might be overruled, would you not account for that as part of our own judgment, so it becomes, if you like, iterative and circular?
Well, it's not only justice, it's mercy as well. You have to bring that. There's always the problem of this balance of justice and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to think about. And that overruling is not an arbitrary thing. As you know, it all happens instantly. Is something completely systematic. And that's what the verse actually inspires us. If you are given your book to write your right hand, this gives us the idea of systematic type of process. Then you have an easy judgment. Then Allah would overrule many things. If you are given your book from your left hand, then there is no such overruling. There is no easy judgment. There will be very difficult thing. So it's systematic. The whole issue is that from which direction you receive your book. That is the important thing. And systematically, if you receive it from your right direction, it would be easy. Allah would overrule many things. Allah would just give us, pours on us His mercy. And if it's from the left hand, and whether it comes from right hand or left hand, it depends on the content of that book. Again, it's very systematic. The content would determine from which direction the book will come, and when, from whatever direction it comes, then there is a systematic sort of process of mercy or lack of mercy coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Anything is the people getting the book in the left hand that need more of Allah's mercy than the other way around.
They need more of Allah's mercy.
Mercy, that's yeah. Right. Whilst you say that you get the book in your left hand based on your actions rather than Allah's decision, that's acceptable, so that's just.
Yeah.
But then, if Allah is going to provide mercy to those who get on the right hand against set formula in a systemic manner, shouldn't He also reciprocate on the left hand side as well?
It is, because the mercy of Allah is somehow systematically pouring down on everything. However, when the book comes from the left direction, then it prevents the mercy to penetrate into your book and your personality. It's in a way an ability of this side to receive that mercy. If it's from right hand side, there is an ability of receiving mercy, receiving grace. Like for example, if some people purify in this world, they receive a grace which others would not receive. It's not the case that Allah chooses them to give them grace. It's because they have opened the doors, and the grace is always there. It's always here for everyone. They have opened the door. Now, if the book comes from the right hand, it means that the doors are still open for mercy. If it comes from the left hand, it means the doors are shut. And when we come to the idea when the book comes from the behind, that would explain many, many things. It means when you face Allah, you receive your personality, you are not looking at Him, you are looking back to this world. This is how the book would come to you. You still... let's explain this next week, inshallah.
Any questions on the lady's side? Ali?
Assalamu alaikum.
Leave some of the questions for that day, of course.
You mentioned that some people have the ability to see ourselves or see our reality, if you like. How is it that some people on this world can have that ability, that power, when I'm always saying that my Lord is the one who covers my faults? How is it then that a certain few elite can still see what my reality is?
Well, if those people have attained that through evil things, many, many things which should be covered of your personality, them will be covered. However, if those people have received that knowledge from God, they are not separate from God. And I mean, the whole argument will be shifted to them, because they are not separate from God. They are only Allah. They are not separate from God. And they are going to cover whatever they see as well. So when we say Allah covers, it doesn't mean that it's not clear to anyone. Certainly many angels can see whatever we do. And some of these people are even higher than many angels in their purity, in their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's leave this aside. This is not an important issue. This is not something which is prevalent in this world. But we know that Allah can give this. In the Quran we have, isn't it? When Khidr alayhi salam saw that boy, he's not only his personality there and then, but how it would develop in future. He saw it, and that's why he killed him. In the hope that Allah would give these very, very benevolent, righteous parents someone better who would not annoy them in future. So, if Quran has talked about it, then we have to accept it.
Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Allah. Allah. Allah.